Today I'd like us to look at number 13, which is the rest in God's righteousness. We have been covering a lot in the series of faith and the finished works of Christ. This will be one more. Deuteronomy 12, verse 9, it says, "Ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God gives you." Really, you know, swords drawn to the gates of pearl. The bottom line is that we are going to be in a warfare as long as we are on earth, and we're going to deal with sin as long as we're probably in this body here on earth. However, we have to understand too that there is a rest, and the actual rest that it's referring to is the rest of faith. We have to understand and realize deeply in our spirit that God is after faith and love. Those are the two things in our life that He is most after producing and making sure that we hang on to. After everything is said and done, faith and love are the two strong pillars that are going to hold us together all the way there. And so God wants us to come to the place where we begin to rest inside, regardless of what we see in us and see in others and see in this world that surrounds us. We still come to the place where we rest in faith that God's finished work, that the work that Christ did at the cross is so powerful, so availing, so complete that nothing can be added to it. When He said, "It is finished," it was finished. We don't need to add anything other to that for our salvation. Now, for the attainment of a holy life, that needs to be worked out in our life, which is bringing the work that God has done in us into our flesh life so that we can mature. That's the only part of maturity in our life, is the part that we bring that God did into our earthly life, into our being, into our flesh life, into our natural man. And that is the work we have to do. We don't ever rest doing that, but we come to a rest of faith in God's finished work. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, reading from the Amplified Version, this mention of the rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, he, that is God, would not speak afterwards about another day. Verse 9 in the New King James Version, it says, "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." In the New International Revised Version, it says, "God rested from His work. Those who enjoy God's rest also rest from their work." So going to verse 11 in the Amplified, "Let us be zealous," that is diligent, "and labor, exerting ourselves, and strive diligently to enter and enjoy and to know and experience it for ourselves, that place of rest in faith in the finished work of Christ." That rest in faith is what He has given us. In Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord." That's a commandment. God wants us to come to a rest that many of us have not found. Exodus 33:14, "And the Lord said to Moses, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I want to just say that the only place we're ever going to find rest is in faith. No, there's nothing really to prove that your name is written in the book of life. No, there isn't really anything that you can see or look, any document you can find, anything you can put together in your own life to assure you, yes, you're double sure that you're going to make it and that you're saved. All we have is God's Word and your faith in Christ's finished work. Well, we could say, "I wasn't there." No, but there were witnesses that were. Christ didn't just give His own testimony, but God gave a testimony of it. The angels gave a testimony of it. Of course, we weren't there either. But there were witnesses who wrote it in a book, what they had actually seen with their eyes and heard with their ears. And they said, "This Lord of glory, who was put to death on the cross, whose blood was shed, rose again after the third day from the dead." So we have facts that are historical, they're scientific. We know that we know that a person came and died and resurrected themselves. Now, they would have to be some special kind of person to resurrect themselves without anyone else. And then announcing it before it happened, you know, "I give up my life and I take it back whenever I feel like it. And I feel like it, for it shall be like in the days of Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale." So I just feel like in 3 days I'm just going to do this thing. this number on myself and bring me back from the dead. I don't want to bring myself from the dead after 3 minutes because too many people could say that was, you know, a fluke that anybody, it could happen to anybody. I want to make sure it was so many days that even science proves that your brain is dead, all the way dead. And you got worms already eaten inside of your body. Your organs are totally deteriorated. Okay, at that point, then I'm going to bring myself back. And I'm going to bring myself back so cool and so good that I can even eat food. You know, I mean, hello, without any blood in my body. And I don't need to depend on any natural life. And because the blood of the, you know, the life of the body is in the blood, we know, and it says that in Leviticus. And so, you know, more so than that, I'm just going to raise up my own body, fix all my organs up, come back a perfect man, eat, drink, and talk, and be merry and happy with everybody, and then leave on a journey for a few thousand years, and then come back and rule the world. Hello? Well, we've had some of that stuff happen already. We're about ready to get the ruling of the world. The devil can make us doubt this, can make us doubt that. And the last thing he finds it hard for us to do is to lose our faith, because he that saith there is no God is a fool. We don't want to be a fool, so we don't want to go there. We choose to believe in the virgin birth. We choose to believe that Christ came. We choose to believe that he rose himself from the dead. We choose to believe that he was very God and that he came down on earth, clothed himself in flesh. We do choose to believe all that. The thing we really sometimes have a problem with is my name still written in the book of life? Because there is these little verses around here and there, and in Revelations it said, make sure your name is not blotted out of the book of life. And so we wrestle with these things, and God wants us to come to a place of rest, not exactly in the fact that your or my name is written in the book of life, but that Christ's finished work prevailed for all who put their faith in him. Because he said, as many as believe in him shall have what? Eternal life. And so if you're not written in the book of life, you don't have eternal life. So to know that you do means we have to go back. You can't be sure in yourself. We have to rest in somebody else's work. That is why we'll never win the battle of faith with the enemy, trying to prove in some way or another that we are saved. The only way we're going to win it is to go back and rivet our faith on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. God said it is finished. No more work needs to be done. I'm through with sin. It's done with. I will never more have to do anything about it. It's been fully punished. And anybody that accepts this payment for the punishment of their sin, we will accept vicariously. In other words, he will have done it for you. And so if you want to pay for your own things, have at it. If you don't, then we must rest in faith. And so in Exodus 33, verse 14 says, and the Lord said to Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. That's why in 1 Kings 5, 4, it says, the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. Boy, isn't that a statement? We all like to make that statement. The Lord, my God, has given me rest on every side. Now, that was great for this person to be able to say that, but I don't think I've come to the place where I can say, I don't have any battles, I don't have any problems, I don't have any situations in my life, everything's cool, everything's working so perfectly, I might as well have just been in paradise already because I feel I'm there. You know, I don't think I can say that, but one thing I can say, in this world full of harm, in this world full of devils, in this world full of sin, in this world full of all type of evil and corruption and lies and everything deteriorating and everything negative, I've got one big positive. The positive is that I don't live by what I see. I live by faith. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. So I'm not even worried about my own faith. I'm not even worried whether I've got the right kind of faith, because the only kind you can have is his. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the rest is pointing to Jesus. The rest, the true rest that we come to is when you focus on Jesus and point it all toward him. Anytime Mr. Devil comes by, you point to Jesus. You need to ask him because he's got my faith. Well, you don't have enough faith. I don't know. Go ask him. He's got my faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He has our faith. He has our love. He did the finished work. In the end, he's it. And so all we have to do is rely on his finished work. Are there things in our life that needs dealing with? Oh yes, we can get to that anytime we want to. There's plenty to get to. But in the end, we're going to have to surrender where? We're going to have to surrender at the feet of Jesus. we're going to have to come. That's why we allow the Holy Spirit to come and show us what things He wants taken to the foot of the cross, what things He wants us taking to Christ. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," in Matthew 11:28, "and I will give you this rest." He is the only one that can give us rest. So, first of all, there's a rest for the people of God. It says, you haven't come to the rest of that God is offering us, the rest of the inheritance which the Lord your God would give you. And then on the other hand, it tells us, Jesus says, "Come to me." That's where you're going to find it. That's the only place we can come to a rest in faith. He said, when you finally come to me, my finished work, my work for you, the love that the Father's deposited in me for you that no one can take away, the faith that He has given me for you. I know you don't have faith for yourself, but I have such a tremendous faith for you. I even see the finished work. I'm on the other side where I can see the timeline to the end, and I'm rejoicing already for what you're going to be. I'm not quibbling with you over this thing right now. I can see the finished work, so I have faith for you. So why not come to Him, receive His faith and His rest? He said, "Come unto me. You've got a burden, leave it here. Don't take it with you. Don't pick it up. Don't try to make something out of it. Leave it with me. I will do something about it. I will give you rest." In Hebrews 4, verse 3, "For we who have believed enter into rest." So it is a rest of faith. In verse 10 in Hebrews 4, "For he who has entered into rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So all this trying to be good, all this trying to be holy, let the Holy Spirit do it through you. Just let Him who's so good at doing it, He did it on earth already, Jesus did, just let Him do it through you. And that we need to let Him do it through us, yes, He does. And listen, when we didn't, He'll let you know. The Holy Spirit's faithful. I don't know of any pastor in the world that God made your conscience. I don't know any pastor in the world that God's made anybody's conscience. I don't know any pastor in the world that God made my conscience. My conscience doesn't work very well, period. I heard the other day on the news something about death by period. Anyway, period. But you know, the Holy Spirit is really good at revitalizing it. The Holy Spirit's really good at awakening it. The Holy Spirit's really good at burning a little fire inside your head until it's so hot you're about ready to burst. He can awaken your conscience. Don't you worry none. God has a way of slipping through all the bulwarks that we've put up, all the walls that we have put up. He slips through it. And you know, He's always so on time. It's right in the middle of a lie that this little niggling thought gets injected in your conscience. It's right in the middle of a bad deal. It's right in the middle of you getting red hot and angry at somebody, and you're blurting half of it out, and you get reminded the other half doesn't need to come because you're going to have to repent for more than just the first half. And it's really hard to chill out when you're that hot, you know what I mean? You'd have to pour a bucket of cold water over some steel that hot, red hot. And so we sort of backed down in stages, but the job was done. The Holy Spirit pricked your conscience right at the right moment. And so, yes, the Holy Spirit can prick our conscience. Yes, He can, and He does most graciously. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, in the Amplified, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, that is to me, and resting, that is in me, you shall be saved in quietness, that is in trusting, and in confidence you will have strength." So, in quiet rest, in a state of faith, not worrying whether I'm saved or not saved, not worrying whether I'm perfectly holy or not, just let the Holy Spirit deal with you. The only thing is just simple obedience. When He puts a finger on something, work on it. And He says, "I want you to come into that rest." In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 18, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has He not given you rest on every side?" Do we have it because He's given it? Are we experiencing it just because He says He gave it? Do we exactly have it? We have to take it, don't we? If He gives it, we have to take it. We have to receive it. We have to take it into our life. God gives it. God gives rest on every side. Do we have it? Not exactly. If we were to be honest, we don't have rest on every side. Can we have rest on every side? Oh, absolutely. We can have rest on every side. God gives us rest on every side. It says here, He gives us rest on every side. So why is it we don't have it?
He says, come to me. The only way you can have it is in me. God doesn't give us something apart from Christ. He gave us Christ. God doesn't give us salvation apart from Christ. He put it in Christ. God doesn't love us outside of Christ. He put his love for us inside of Christ. And the list goes on and on and on and on for everything we need. Healing, God gave us rest in his marvelous healing on every side. Every part you ever needed for your body was already provided and already in the warehouse. Does that mean we got them all? Maybe not. Where's the warehouse? In Christ. Where else? I am the Lord, your healer. Jehovah, our healer. Yes, he is. He is our God as well. He is our healer. And because he is our healer, he has all our parts that we need. Every part we need to make us whole and sound. He also has the blueprints of our life. Bogoski's version of this in the Golden Treasury says, in vain do we hope to achieve this rest by any reasoning or strong resolution of our own. For if we are sometimes able to master our own affections or emotions by our own strength, this is yet a building of our own. We have now a form of godliness without its power, and are still deceiving our own souls. For nothing can be pleasing in the sight of God and profit us in the last day but what he works himself. Away, therefore, with all confidence in the works of our righteousness. Let us acknowledge the weakness of our strength and apply in our poor, blind, naked, lost, and miserable condition to the blood of the righteousness of Christ. Then we shall find power and dominion over sin and come to a total rest for our struggling souls. He put it quite well in Isaiah 28, verse 12, in whom he said, this is the rest in which you cause the weary to rest. This is their refreshing. What is their refreshing? This is the rest in which you have caused them to rest, the Lord our God. He is the one that gives us rest. I want to speak here for just a minute about a rest that I'm not referring to. A rest isn't when we give up and quit. A rest isn't a time where we say, all right, Lord, it's getting too nasty. Why don't we just take a vacation from all of this and just leave me alone for a while and let me heal on my own, and I need time to heal, and so why don't we just rest and relax all of this pressure that you have on me, and then everything will be cool. You said to come into your rest. Well, that isn't his rest. That's our rest. What we are saying to God is, I know you're producing a diamond from this carbon, but the pressure is just too much to put up with. You know, so I'd like to either forfeit being a diamond, or I'd like you to choose some stone that doesn't take so much pressure. So rest does not mean chill out. Rest does not mean that we just quit on God and quit on religion and quit on going to church and quit on everything. We're just taking a vacation from all of this. Okay, I need to think this through. I need to figure all this out. No, that's not the rest that God's talking about. When he said that there's a rest that we need to come to, that we read when we began with in Deuteronomy 12:9, it said, you have not come to this rest of your inheritance, which the Lord your God gives you. I just wanted to make sure that we were understanding the same thing. The rest that the Lord our God gives us isn't the rest from what our God gives us. It's a rest in what God gives us. It's knowing that no matter what trial, what things come to your life, how bad it gets, God has a purpose. He loves us. Nothing has changed. And we come to a rest of faith in spite of the fact that there's no rest in circumstances. We want rest from circumstance. God doesn't care about the circumstances. He needs them. One of the first rests I suggested to God when I was a very young man and was very plagued with a lot of sickness for a season in my life, a long season, I suggested to the Lord that one of the rests he should put on pause is the devil. After the cross, when he eliminated all his power, he should have just eliminated the devil too. That would have been a good place for him to throw him in the lake of fire. I just thought that God should have put to rest all the works of the devil. I know that in the natural, I may have some of you agreeing with me. You just don't say amen because you don't know if it's the righteous thing to do. However, it would have been a good thing, but my suggestion was not even heard in heaven. Had it been, perhaps he would have considered it and done it. The Lord's rest does not include stopping the devil from working you over, or me. God's rest does not include you having battles in your life. That is not the rest God is speaking of. The rest is a rest of faith that when all hell is broken loose on our life, we still know God is in control. We still know God sent it. We still know that our loving Father has a purpose in providing for ourselves and producing in ourselves something that He was really looking for. We come to a rest of faith in that when all this is done, it's going to produce what God wants and it's going to be for His glory. Doesn't matter how long it is, it's going to be for His glory. It was curious to me in the 5th chapter of Mark when the woman with the issue of blood came, Jesus said that she had been sick 12 years. And I was amazed with the fact that this poor lady had to endure for 12 years for the manifestation of her healing. She had to wait. Just think. But 21, Jesus wasn't ready yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't released him. He hadn't been baptized. He hadn't been sent to the wilderness to be tried. He hadn't gone through his fast. He hadn't started doing miracles yet. She had to wait on the timeline for 12 years. Her miracle was always meant to be. She lived at the right time. She had a problem during the time. Just think, all that time, if Christ had only come 12 years early. Have you ever come to the place where you hear yourself praying that? Do you remember the words of Martha and Mary when Jesus came? If only he would have come, let me paraphrase it, 12 years before, I'd have just had this problem and boom, it'd been gone. Why does he wait? How deteriorated does something have to become before it's too late for God to return it? I know you don't think about things like this, but worms have eaten an awful lot by then. How did he just return it so fast? He said, "Didn't I tell you that if you just believe, if you just rest in faith, all things are possible. You'll see the glory of God." So it doesn't matter how long our problem is, it will have a healing. It will have a glorious end. Everything from the moment we gave our life to God, every programmed thing that comes into our life is going to end well. In fact, He prophesied that to us, that for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose, all things work together for good. So in the end, it doesn't matter what we're going through in life and how long it lasts, it's going to end like it did for this woman with the issue of blood. At the same time it talks about the woman with the issue of blood, it talks about this young girl. And isn't it curious that in the same chapter it should tell us that both were, that she was 12 years old and the other one had suffered the problem for 12 years? That means that they both waited 12 years for the manifestation of God's glory in their life. Now we can either fret and make a problem of it. We can choose as the one woman to exhaust all of our energies, exhaust all of our strength, exhaust all of our finances, seeing and suffering all things from all kinds of doctors, or wait until the timeline meets the moment of the manifestation of God's glory in our life. One thing is very important, the rest of faith. I know how this is going to turn out. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know how this is going to work out. Today, I think one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to impress on us is that we need to continue, not the battle of faith, but the rest of faith. Come to a rest of faith. Everything's in God's hands. Everything is good. Your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, the grace that God will have on you, your development, everything is in God's hand. Everything is programmed perfectly. Jesus said, just come to me every time you're in trouble. Come to me every time you're burdened. Come to me every time you find things piling in on you and it's more than you can handle. Bring them to me. Keep your focus on me. Keep looking at me. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I have the love of God for you. I have the God's salvation for you. I have everything. Why should you fret whether you have something or not when I can tell you already you don't have it? I have it for you. Your money's in the bank. It's in my bank. Your salvation is in my bank. I have the title for your salvation in my bank. Why are you fretting so much that you can't find it in your safe in the closet? Why are you fretting so much that you can't find the title deed to your house and you're fretted all this? Maybe you forgot that the bank vault has your title deed to your house. Maybe we forgot that He is holding our title deeds. Maybe we forgot that God put everything in Christ because it was the surest place to get it. Let me tell you one place the devil won't even think of going to get it. Not without for sure having to leave with a lot of shame, and that's Christ. If he so much comes into the presence of Christ, he starts trembling so bad. What I'm trying to say is that everything that you need is in Christ. So why should we fret when we can't find it or feel it? You're not supposed to. I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to feel anything. I'm supposed to just stay in the rest of faith. Just believe God that what he said is what's happening. And when the devil comes and tries to try you, it's like, sorry, devil, you're going to have to talk you know who to who, because I don't have it. Go talk to the bank. I don't have the combination to the safe vault either. I don't even know the combination. In fact, it's not until after I die and get there that he opens the books. I don't even know where the books are. He knows it's in his library. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Thank you for the enlightenment of your word. Lord, I just ask that we would take this practical, that we would learn how to live in the rest of God for us. I thank you for the anointing of the word. I thank you for the anointing that was on the praise this morning. Father, I thank you that there is a rest of faith we can come into even when things fall apart in our life. And we can know that not one thing seeps through to us without divine guidance. Lord, you order our steps. You are the one that every circumstance in our life, every battle we have to fight, every loss we have to sustain, every time that we are confronted by situations that seem to be so adverse to us, we don't need to lose it. We can just stay calm on the inside and let the sea roar. But deep down underneath, there's this peace that passes all understanding. There's this trust in our Father. There's a trust in the finished work of Christ.